just want to say, first of all, Brother Terry, I enjoyed your message last week. It was very encouraging, and it was very awesome. Well, what I want to do, you guys go to Revelation 14 and park there just for a moment. I'm going to read John 4, but y'all know John 4. Tammy, if you would, go to John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. So what I said was, in this setting, you can see my artistic ability is not the best in the world. I'm still with the stick people. But at least Tammy's got a skirt on, okay? So I did the best I could to make the ladies look like a lady. So y'all just have to work with me. So what I had was Shavuot equals Gorilla Glue. Because we're entering into Shavuot in just a few weeks as we're counting down. And it's, in the count, it's just, it's flying. For me, it's just flying. And so what we've been studying about love, we've been studying about stewardship, we've been studying about light, okay? But with Shavuot, I'm afraid that sometimes, and I'm just as guilty as anybody else, and sometimes Shavuot doesn't get the impact and the importance that Passover gets, or definitely Sukkot gets, because our children are all fired up for Sukkot. They're wanting to know, after Shavuot, they're going to be asking me about their feast gift. So, I mean, everything's rolling when we get ready to go to walk away, and it's an exciting time, and it's a blast. This feast right here is the one that holds everything together. And so we have Passover that brought us out of Egypt. And we have a saying here that we had learned from somebody. I don't know if it was Rico or it was somebody that said this. Grace gets us in the house. Obedience keeps us in the house. Okay? Grace gets you in the house, but obedience keeps you in the house. This is why Passover we left out of Egypt, but now this is, as we're in the house of Elohim, as we're in the house of Yahweh, we have to play by His rules. Father knows best. Amen? He has His rules for us to have. And during this time, as we're studying at Shavuot, the Torah was given in the season of the third month, maybe not exactly on the day of the sixth of Sivan, even though we do know that in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit was given on that 50th day. Amen? But you see that the Torah and the Holy Spirit was given on this same season at Shavuot for a reason. And I'm going to have Tammy read the scripture in John 4, 23 and 24.
But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. Elohim is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth.
Amen. So what happens here is this, is we know that true worshipers worship Yahweh in spirit and in truth. Now, we have a problem today. Because as a whole, and as we go through these scriptures, the Torah itself has been taught and is being taught. I even heard a testimony of somebody last week where different ministers, youth ministers, pastors, or whatever, said, you don't have to do those things. You don't have to do the food laws. You don't have to do all the Torah. You don't have to do all that. Well, if you throw the Torah out, then the truth is gone. And so there's no being led by the Spirit. You're being led by a free spirit. Or you're going to end up being led by a foul spirit. And we're going to see that in just a moment. So Passover brings us out of Egypt. But while we're in the house, the Father has a process of now getting where we came from out of us. He is now getting Egypt out of us. And He's going to do this. And He has to do this here before He can take us into Sukkot. He's got to do this here. And I said, the spring feast delivers us to the fall feast. So we have this time that we're in now is a delivery. It is, it's preparing us to bring us into the final day, the time of eternity, the world to come and all of the above. But it takes place here as a family and a community because the Torah was given not to just individuals, but to Israel as a whole, that we could love Him, to show us how to love Him properly as He intended, and for us to be able to love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen? I know you know that. Okay, let's go. You're at Revelation 14, 12. Here's some scriptures that we've talked about also. A lot of this, I'm just using a lot of scriptures that you're familiar with to tell this story. In Revelation 14, 12, it says, here is a call for the endurance of the saints. Now, some will say patience of the saints. Some translations may say something different. I want to capitalize on this word endurance. I appreciated Tori getting up doing the offering. Because what he's saying is I'm not going to let this get me down. Even though he's doing it physically, that shows something spiritually that goes on in somebody's life. Here's the call for the endurance of the saints. Those who keep the commandments of Elohim and their faith in Yeshua. It is not one or the other. It is both. Now this is in the New Testament, okay? The Brit Hadashah. And he's telling us the endurance of the saints are those who do both. So when people tell you that the Torah is done away with, they're throwing the commandments of Elohim out. They're picking and choosing, and you can't do that. So I looked up the word endurance. This is something, I mean, we can look at this scripture and we can shout and we can, but listen at the definition of the word endurance. The ability to withstand hardship or adversity. Endurance now is the ability to withstand hardship or adversity. The ability to sustain a prolonged stressful effort or activity. So you think about this. And you know, there's nobody in here wants to go through hardship. There's nobody in here that wants to go through stress or stressful activity. But guess what? It's part of our life. It's part of training for reigning. Because I'm going to share something, and we may get to it in Revelation in 19 and 20. We may not today. If we don't, we'll finish it up next week. But the thing about it is training for reigning, endurance is so, so, so important in our life. Because when life is good, whenever... I'll just use Torrington as an example since he let us do so. The thing about it is one day, foot worked well. Next day, toe don't move. It's amazing what a skill saw can do to flesh. It's amazing. You know, I'll just say this. I talked to Jeremiah. I'm just going to throw this out here too. Talked to Jeremiah this week, and we thought it'd be a good idea. What we're going to do is take our young men and women, and maybe have Arnold and have a few of them up here. And I'm going to go buy a bunch of wood. And we're going to train them on skill saws. We're going to let them work some skill saws. And we're going to let them work some of these power tools. Here's the reason why I want to do this. Because our girls do use saws as well as the guys use saws. And in his case, when a saw got pinched and he jerked it back, you have your finger on the trigger and all that kind of stuff. Accidents happen. But here's the thing. This is the way I was. And I'm not saying this is the way Tori was. But this is the way I was coming up. My dad cut meat. He was a butcher. And he was a very good butcher. When we would deer hunt, I said, show me how to clean the deer. He says, okay. But after 5 minutes, he's like, next time, you too slow. I'm starving. I'm ready. So, I mean, he can clean a deer in 5 minutes where it takes me 5 days. I mean, I'm sitting here whittling, and I'm trying to go down the bone. He's like, man, you need to move out of the way. Give me that knife. And he carved that deer up in just a matter of 5 minutes because it was cold. It was at night. He's ready to go home. You know, maybe next time. So what ended up happening to me in my life, if I saw somebody use a power tool, I wasn't trained in it. So what I would do is I would watch. If I learned wrong, I would perform wrong. And I would watch. And so naturally when somebody would say, do you know how to use this? What did we always say? Yes, sure. I'm not going to be embarrassed. I'm not going to be the kid
that don't know how to use a skill saw. And I'm not saying he was that way. I'm talking about me, because I didn't know how to use. I've testified to me on cutting stuff. I mean, it took me a long time to realize that when I would cut a board, it was short. It took me a long, I couldn't get in my head that a blade is an eighth of an inch. I was an eighth of an inch short, and it drove me nuts. Until finally, one day, somebody said, cut this and leave the line. I said, leave the line? What do you mean, leave the line? And then he said, well, if you cut the line, you cut an eighth of an inch. I said, I knew that. No, I didn't know that. And I got a revelation. But do you know how many boards I cut that was an eighth of an inch short? Many of them. And so I use this as a, you know, Jeremiah's really good. I mean, he does carpenter work. I can hold the dumb end of the board, the dumb end of the tape. I can hold these things. But we need to teach our children. We need to train her. And this is, using power tools is just as important as our spiritual tools. Amen. All of it works together to be able to train and work, and also to bring some good, you know, teaching biblically out of what we're doing. So we're going to try to get this together one day, and we'll have Walter come up, just different ones that's used to using all that stuff, because I think it's very important. Because I will tell you what I would do. I didn't want to be embarrassed. I don't know how many times when they would take me to Flint Creek and they say, can you swim? Yep. I couldn't swim a lick. I sunk like a rock. So I stayed in the rope. All my friends, what do? They want to go outside the rope. I said, man, I'm good. Man, I'm just duck paddling right here. But I was so embarrassed. See, kids can be that way. Our kids can be that way. So we need to teach and train them. But do you know what? In the kingdom, people are asked the same questions. Do you know about this day? Oh, yeah. But you start asking them questions about it, they don't know. They don't have a clue. So it's very, very important that we know and we understand that we stay with these feasts and what they mean, because they're showing something for us for our present life as well as our future life. So when I saw this word for the call for the endurance of the saints, the ability to withstand hardship or adversity, let's go to Joshua 1, 7 and 8, because I want to get down to Daniel 3. Joshua said this as he's getting ready to go into the promised land. He says, only be strong and very courageous. Only be strong and very courageous. Why would he be telling them that? Because it wasn't many years before when the spies went into the land, they came back with a bad report. When you all get together, sometimes when things are good, you can talk a good game. But then when you have to put yourself into action, all of a sudden, you may be pushing your brother up there and let him go first to see what happens. Do you know it's amazing that whenever they crossed the Red Sea, the waters opened and they parted and they went across on dry land. But when they went into the Jordan to cross the other side, it did not part until the priest headed down to the Jordan. And until the priest raised his foot up, it was not parted. He said, go. See, I showed you before, I'll hold the waters back. And I showed you dry land, but now your faith is growing. Now you're going to have to say, well, you know what? I remember just a while back, you parted everything for us. This ain't moving. The Jordan's over. It's overflowing. And then I'm carrying this big ark with me and all of this, and all of a sudden you're telling me to go. But here's the deal. But the moment before that toe hit that water, what happened? It started rolling back. See, that's growing faith, and that's where we have to learn in our life. Hey, I know that when we're new believers in Yeshua, things are easy. But as we grow up, he tests our faith to see if he says go to the other side and there's a river that's overflown. I mean, what would you do? I mean, you know what I'm saying? That is, I'm just trying to be realistic. Where are we? We have to know that we have to be ones who is going to stick our toe or our foot in that water, and it's going to roll back. You have to know that that's going to happen. If you hesitate, if we hesitate, you're not going to go. You're going to hang in the back of the pack. And the Father is not calling us to be in the back of the pack. He is calling us to lead our families. Fathers, we have to lead. Grandfathers, we have to lead. We can't just end up in the back of the pack, or that's where our children will be. And that's usually where everybody gets picked off. So he's telling them, only be strong and very courageous. And he says this, be careful to do according to, well, some of the law of Moses is done away with. So let's see. No, he says, be careful to do all the law of Moses, or that Moshe, my servant, commanded you. And he said something. He says, do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Now, guys, this is a promise. He says if we would obey his laws and commandments, he's saying that we will have good success wherever we go. Even when this word endurance, whenever the trials and tribulations, when they come up, I really like it. Like when the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, that's the way it has to happen. See, we would always say, as the enemies would come in like a flood, da da da. No, it's when the enemy comes in, no, like a flood, Yahweh's going to roll in here and he's going to push everything out of your way. But you have to be prepared to know your mind's got to be made up. If it's not made up, he knows it's not made up. And he's going to let you feel what you need to feel until we learn to trust him in every area of our life. I'm not saying it's easy, but that's what he's looking for. Because when you get down to Revelation, I'm telling you, when the beast and the false prophet and the Antichrist shows up on this scene, if we are alive and remain, you think it's bad now? You think it's bad now? You better have your mind made up. If you don't, you will fall away. You will fall away because if you can't take pain, you know, I appreciated, you know, Casey kept telling him, just take your mind off of it. He said, it hurts. I know it hurts. He was holding his artery, pinching it off. So what does he do? He gets his cell phone. He plays a game. You know what I'm saying? He said, I had to do something to take my mind off of it. But the thing about it is your mind's got to be made up. I really appreciate what he went through. Because the reason is because I didn't see him cry. I didn't see him. And he had to endure. He had to know. But you know what? You had people. You had Tyler and you had Casey. And you know what? They were coaching him. They was encouraging him. I guarantee you, he was afraid of what was really going on under that shoe. What was left under the shoe? You know what I'm saying? You got a shoe, it's cut, there's bleed. I mean, is there one toe left? Is there two? Is there even a foot? What? I cut my foot. What's going on? What I'm saying is, but you have two men coaching. Hang in there. You're doing fine. Everything's going to be all right. That's what a body is about spiritually. We have to be behind one another to know. If I have to spiritually pinch off an artery, I'll do it. You know what I'm to control the bleeding. But the thing is, you're not going to die. And even if you do die, you're going to be with the Father. You know what I'm saying? So we have really nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. Verse 8, he says, the book of the law, which is the Torah, the teaching and instructions that's given during this time at Shavuot, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it when you feel like it. No, you shall meditate on it only when you go to bed at night. No, you shall meditate on it day and night. If we all confess here, we don't do that. We mostly don't meditate on his word day and night. We mostly put his word when it's convenient for us to sit down and read his word. Meditate is not just reading a few little verses. Meditating is getting down, praying, reading it, being quiet, and letting the Father speak to you through his word. What was that that Tori said when he cut his foot? He was thinking about mustard seed faith. What did you say? Okay, he was saying it was hard to believe that everything was going to be good, but I had to believe by faith that everything was going to be good, that with Yahweh, everything was going to be great. So where did he get that from? He had to get it from hearing this over and over and over and over again, because guess what? The foot is cut. If you got to learn that then, Tyler and Casey would have had a lot more to do. Amen? Because I'm telling you, what happened was, he's got faith in him, and it rose up to be able to do what he knew to do to become. In a situation that when you don't know what's under the shoe. How you going to coach someone who's never been trained? You can't. That's what we're doing now. We're training for reigning. Because I'm telling you, a lot of times, there's not a person in this building that I know of that wants to die. If you do, you can raise your hand and we'll, whatever. I know I don't want to. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I want to be, how many wants to alive and remain? That's right. We want to see Yeshua come back. We want to be alive and remain. We want to do this, but guess what? Could be. Could be. I'm just going to tell you it's going to be scary. Because the beast, the false prophet, and the anti-messiah is going to be here before Yeshua returns. And you're talking about, if you ever heard this hell on earth, that's when you're really going to see it. You think you've seen hell on earth? You have not seen it until these three show up. These three spirits show up and they start doing what they're doing and working on the kings. Look at the mess that we have right now in government. People changing law, trying to do away with this amendment, do away with that amendment. Everybody, all of a sudden, because something doesn't fit me or doesn't fit you, and they want, Do you know how it's going to be a million times worse, and then somebody, some spirit, is going to get a hold of whatever happens, and they're going to set that system up. And when they do, I can tell you, doing the Torah is not on the top of their list. Matter of fact, not doing it is on the top of their list. Yes.
Even our young people can coach and encourage us older folks, because when Tori was in the truck on the way to the hospital, I didn't know what was going on yet. I had no, but he texted me a picture of him smiling, and he says, "Mom, I'm okay."
Amen. Amen. That's awesome to be able to think about your parents instead of yourself. Because I know parents are going to worry. That's excellent. So he's telling us here that we need to meditate on his word day and night. I'm just telling you that most people don't that are believers. But we need to. That has to be a priority. Why? So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then, now listen to this, for then, it's the same thing of good success in verse 7, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I just want to say it like this. I'm already going to get into meddling now. What happens is when churchianity as a whole throws away the Torah, they have to put something in its place. They have to put something in its place because the people are falling apart. Divorce rates are through the roof. Their kids are marrying the wrong sex. All of this stuff is going on. So what do they have to do? The Torah's not there. We can't do this because this is done away with. So they start programs. They have programs for this, they have programs for that, they have this and that. All he says is if you will meditate on the Torah day and night, because you know what's happening? I'm just saying, the believers in Yeshua are not meditating on his word day and night, because it's not too hard, but it's not convenient. Too many distractions. There's so many things that's going on in our life. And what do? We're not going to put the effort. Is it okay to meddle? Because I'm meddling because I'm talking about myself first. The thing about it is, when we don't do it, then the thing about it is, it's easy for somebody to write a book. Anybody ever went in a bookstore? Books a million. And believe me, there's books a million. Anybody ever been into the thing called self-helps? There's probably, what, one or two books? There's rows of books. When I first went there years ago, I said, what is self-helps? When I started, and I looked, I said, goodness. I mean, they got something to help you for everything. I'm like, are we that bad off that somebody has to write a book for me to function? How to be a dad, how to be a mom, how to take a bath. Do you use soap? Do you not? Is it organic or is it not? I mean, it's how do you eat? It's eat right for your blood type. You know what I'm saying? And be vegan, be vegetarian. Vegans will hang a vegetarian because a vegetarian will eat an egg. I'm like, what? And I mean, and it just goes, and in the religious section, it is the same way. I mean, how do we get there? By not meditating on His Word day and night. Because He promised me, if I would meditate on His Word day and night, I would have good success. And do you know, this is what we've been talking about. Love, joy, and peace, even though adversity comes, we can have joy. We can have peace. We won't panic. And you know what's great is having your neighbor with you during an adversity that can sit here and say, this is not life-threatening. You're not going to die. But it hurts. I know it hurts. But you know what? You're just going to have to endure it until we get you to a place that it don't hurt no more. But the thing about it is people helping give him courage to be able to lay there with his foot up in the air and play a game on the cell phone until they got him to where he needed to be. I'm just saying, I'm using these practical terms, but spiritually, guys, we got to have that because I'm telling you, the body of Messiah, without the help, the self-help section in Books a Million, where are we going to be? Now, like I said, I know I'm meddling with that, but I'm just saying, it is real. It is real. Because He tells us what to do. We don't put the effort to do it. And by not doing that, then there's something. And why is there something going on in our life that doesn't make us feel? It's because we're really not doing what He says to do. And we want a feel-good pill. Or we want a feel-good book. I'm not going to name a name. But there is a ministry that has probably 50,000 people that show up. Made the statement, it's not my job to preach against sin. That's too much of that. My job is you need to feel good while you're here on this earth. Well, you better feel good while you're here on this earth, because in the afterlife, you might not be feeling too good. So if you're not going to deal with sin, you're going to deal with it later. Amen. I cannot believe that happened, but I heard it with my own ears. I even had the Catholic Church is in turmoil right now because the beloved Pope came out in his Easter thing and said there's no hell. So when he, all got to do is look it up, he said there's no hell, and when he did, he created it. There was a firestorm among the clergy. There's a firestorm among the clergy because they're out there trying to put that fire out that he started. The thing about it is there is judgment. But in the end, we're not going to make it there. But in the end, we'll make it there next week. But here's the deal. The thing is in the end, the lake of fire, guys, is real. And there is judgment. Here's the beautiful thing. Me and you're not in charge of this. So it's not our job to tell who's going to go do what and who's going to go where and all of the above. The thing is for you and me and here in this book, too much is given, much is required. Know that because that figures into how all of this stuff works. And I'm so glad I'm not the one who has to turn away one who's beaten at the door, like the deal with the 10 virgins. Amen?
I was just going to share experience Morgan had this week. She's going to JCJC for some classes, and somebody came in there and was handing out New Testaments. The Gideons were handing out the New Testament only, and everybody in class took one except Morgan. And they said, "Morgan, don't you believe in God?" And she goes, "Yeah, but I believe the whole Bible." They're handing out the book without the answers, because the answers are really in the front. Just like any textbook, the test is in the back, but the answers are in the front.
Very good. There you go. I don't want a half a Bible. Give me a whole one. Amen. That's like eating an apple with no fritter on it. You know what I'm saying? Give me the whole thing, baby. Amen to that one. Woo. Give me the whole testament. Give me the whole testament. Amen. Let's go to Deuteronomy. I'm going to finish up here. Okay, Deuteronomy 31:24 through 27. I'm going to pick up in Daniel next week. I want to spend a little time there because that's important. And it says this: when Moshe had finished writing the words of this law in a book to the very end, Moshe commanded the Levites to carry the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh. 26 and 27. Take this book of the law and put it by the side of the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh your Elohim for a reason, that it may be there for a witness against you. Now I want to say this here. If we are obedient, if we will meditate on His Word day and night, then His Word would be a witness for us, not a witness against us. You can read that here because He tells you in 27, "For I know how rebellious and stubborn you are. Behold, even today, while I am yet alive with you, you have been rebellious against Yahweh. How much more after my death?" So I thought about that scripture as we were talking about being courageous, being very strong, meditating on His Word day and night, writing the laws and commandments, this feast and festival that we're in. That's why I put Shavuot equals the Gorilla Glue. It holds you together. This feast where the Holy Spirit, because true worshipers worship me in spirit and in truth. I appreciate what she said. Don't give me half a Bible. You got a whole Bible, I'll take that. It's like Vicky said, you know, the thing is all the answers are in the front. The things that are in the rear are the commentary of trying to explain what's going on in the front. But if you don't know what it's talking about in the front, I mean, you're talking throwing away the Torah, you're throwing away the prophets. What does the prophets tell us? Sort of like what's going to be going on. And the writings. The writings where you have David and you have Solomon. Love and wisdom you have there. And you have situations where great men made great mistakes. And Yahweh came down because they repented, showed great mercy. So you see this happening. It gives us a lot of hope there. But you throw that away and start in Matthew with a genealogy. And like me, you can't read half the names because I can't speak them. I understand Yeshua and I understand David, you know, and Adam or Abraham. But my thing is that when you throw all of that away, and this is what this is going towards, the body of Messiah as a whole has vacated 2/3 of the scriptures for centuries. There is an awakening to where this is coming back. But it's still, compared to all of the people, it's still a remnant. It's still a remnant of what's really going to be going on. And I thought about, when I got to the area, when I was reading that scripture, the Torah itself will be a witness against you because you are a rebellious people. And that's exactly what he's telling us. So when we, what did they do? When you put it aside and say that is no longer relevant for me and you today, then what does it do? It becomes a witness against us. So all I'm saying is, the church as a whole, the body of Messiah as a whole, the Torah is working two ways. For those who obey it, they love it. It is a witness for them. And for those who don't, it's a witness against them. And the Father is going to have his way. So with us, I just want to encourage us, stay in this book. Meditate on his word day and night. Meditate on his word day and night. Meditate on his word day and night. We talk about when we sit up here and we do the Shema and we do the Via Hafta. And the Via Hafta, when do we teach our children? All the time. When they're down, when they're up, when they're asleep, when they're awake, when they're eating cereal, when they're not. You know, I'm just saying, it just shows you that you have to have his word funneling in here. I could have read this scripture as, when do you meditate on his word? On Shabbat and on the feast? If that's what you do, you're going to be lacking in a lot of ways. Every day we have to meditate on it. Every day, day and night. It's leading up to something. The reason why, and I'm going to close with this, the reason why the children of Israel fell apart when fiery trials came in their life, the reason why they fell apart is because they wasn't doing this. And this came to pass. The Torah ended up being a witness against them. How many times in history do we see it? We saw it whenever they went into the land. And the 10 spies says, we can't do it. A witness against them.
I appreciate that Tori had that word rise up inside of him for mustard seed faith when this happened. And it's like you said, it's because it's repetitive. He's heard it and heard it. So it rose up. Last night, Tammy shared with me a video of these little girls, and the mother is training them in the ways of the Torah, teaching them, and they're doing everything. They're lighting the candles. They're covering their eyes, you know, for the Shema, for all of it. They're doing it all. But it brought back to my mind a little video that came up on Facebook, and it was a child, Mark, in a diaper. He was probably 2 or less. And he was singing a worldly song. His little mouth was repeating every word of that song. He was making the moves. And, you know, and everybody thought, oh, this is so funny. But I wept. I wept because I cannot tell you the times that parents have told me, you are too passionate about children trying to memorize the word. They're too young. Don't tell me they're too young. When I'm watching these little ones learn, is it Shabbos yet? And they're going through the whole thing of learning what they do to prepare for Shabbat and for Er Shabbat meal. You know, and then this little one, well, I won't get on my soapbox.
Go along with that. We keep on picking at you, Tori. We love you. Okay? So that's why but the first thing that came out of his mouth whenever he went down was Yahweh. That was the first thing that came out of his mouth. And you think about anybody else who cut themselves or, you know, they hurt themselves really bad. It ain't going to be that word. And he didn't get that of his own self. Like, that's from y'all pouring into him, from y'all teaching him in this way, that whenever that was in his time of need, he knew where to go.
Amen. Good. Because here, it's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's what it means. It means whenever you cut your foot, what comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart. And like you say, most of the time, there's different things that usually flow out of the belly of the rivers of water. But there again, getting this in there, getting into you, what you put before your eyes and all of the above is very, 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 very important. These are great testimonies. And you know what? It's like Rachel said, it is important. And I know people, we live in a society to where things are funny and they see their whatever, they do that. But it ain't going to be funny when the child is rebellious and they're having problems and fits with them when they're 13, 14, 15 years old. It's just not going to be funny then. And that's what happens. Amen. All right, let's close in prayer, and then we'll pick back up in Daniel next week.